enter into the Tao. Number 9. Filling all the way to the brim is not as good as halting in time. Pounding an edge to sharpness will not make it last. Keeping plenty of gold and jade in places makes no one able to defend it. Displaying riches and titles with pride brings about one's downfall. This is an interesting and most beautiful teaching. In another translation, better stop short than fill to the brim. Oversharpen the blade, and the edge will soon blunt. Amass a store of gold and jade, and no one will be able to protect it. Claim wealth and titles, and disaster will follow. Retire when the work is done. This is the way of heaven. This is a very beautiful, beautiful teaching. It is about finding the apex, the highest point or part of something, and really realizing that point. But not going over that, not overthinking, not bringing some sort of better idea to the whole situation. There is where we lose moderation. There must be balance. To find the apex of everything, to find its highest point, and then to stop, not to go over, just to stop. Look within yourself. What have you gone overboard with within you? Lhasa talks about it, first of all, as filling something to the brim, and then it goes over the top. That you and I oversharpen a blade, and then the edge becomes weakened and fragile. People amass wealth, but then they spend the rest of their life trying to protect it. People don't understand motive, moderation, middle way. We always want to go over the top. What is the apex of a spiritual life, of a life of transcendence? It is, first of all, in not wanting more than what is. You must calibrate your life in accord with where you are in your life. Not your livingness, but in your life. It is a place where we find moderation. Moderation is not the idea of finding something, let's say a teaching like this, and then just looking at it and listening to it and thinking, okay, I got it. I won't go any further. I won't push myself any further. That's not what this is about. This is about finding the middle way. Both the Buddha and Jesus talked about this middle way. And this is how Lhasa is talking about the middle way. You remember the Zen teacher who said, the only way I can help my students is when I see them going too far to the right, I tell them, go left. And when they go too far to the left, I tell them to go to the right. Humility is the essence of a great spiritual practice. It's the apex. It is what brings me to the meaning where I am willing to drop my certainty. I have a story. It is a story of innocence and true inner motive. But you have to listen to the story from the apex, shall we say, of spiritual life and living as moderation. If you can listen to this and find the middle way here, it will not only never leave your mind as the years go on, but it will also enhance your practice. When the bishop's ship stopped at a remote island for a day, he was determined to use the time in a profitable way. So he strolled along the seashore and came across three fishermen mending their nets. In pig English, they explained to him that centuries before they had been made into Christian by monasteries that had come to plant their seeds in their village. These missionaries made monasteries and were monasteries themselves. So they said, "We are Christians," they said, pointing proudly at one another. Well, the bishop was impressed. Did they know the Lord's Prayer, though? Well, he asked them, "Have you ever heard of the Lord's Prayer?" They said, "No, we have never heard of the Lord's Prayer." Well, the bishop was shocked, and he found an entrance here. "So what do you say then when you pray?" "We lift our eyes to heaven and we pray, 'We are three, you are three, have mercy on us.'" The bishop was appalled at the primitive, downright silly nature of their prayer. So he spent the whole day teaching them the Lord's Prayer, just like the missionaries. The fishermen were poor listeners, but they gave it all they had. And before the bishop sailed away the next day, he had the satisfaction of hearing them go through the whole formula of the Lord's Prayer without making a mistake. Well, months later, the bishop's ship happened to pass by those islands again, and the bishop was standing on the deck. He was repeating his evening prayers, and he recalled the pleasure of the three men that were on the distant island, who were now able to pray. And he gave thanks for his patient efforts. Well, while he was lost in thought, he happened to look up and noticed a spot of light in the east. The light kept approaching the ship. And as the bishop gazed in wonder, he saw three figures walking on the water. The captain stopped the boat and everyone leaned over the rails to see the sight. When they were within speaking distance, the bishop recognized the three friends, the three fishermen. They couldn't believe it. The bishop said, "Are you safe? Are you all right?" The three fishermen said, "We hear your boat go past island, and we come to meet you." "What is it that you want?" the awe-stricken bishop said. "Bishop," they said, "we are so sorry. We forgot lovely prayer. We say, 'Our Father in heaven, holy be your name, your kingdom come.' Then we forget. Please tell us the prayer again." The bishop felt humbled. "Go back to your homes, my dear friends," he said. "And each time you pray, pray this: 'We are three. You are three. Have mercy on us.'" It's a cute little story. It's a story of innocence. It's the apex that these three men found without trying to find it. They weren't trying to perfect something. They were just being authentic. They lived in the moderation of their own life. They were fishermen. And they sought the manner of humility. You see, the truly spiritual person is humble. They realize most of their life was lived in the I know not what I do thing. Rather than going over the top and building a church and building this and doing that, these fishermen were just humble. In their humility, they found the apex of their practice, of their life. They didn't know it. You couldn't teach this to someone. This is something that has to come from a sincerity. And what I find in students is that they are so certain about their certainality, about how certain they are about their right and their righteousness, how they, shall we say, live their life from the personage they are, they miss. At our summer retreat, one of my students had a huge breakthrough for the group. It was so beautiful. We were talking about the certainty. We were talking about how our philosophies and our beliefs had turned into certainties. I am certain of this. Certain self-righteousness simply kills consciousness. It kills the path. You can't find it in that. Anyway, we were talking about the futility of it all. And this student, God bless him, he said, well, the reason I'm that way is because this is just the way I am. Leaving it there, we miss. Leaving it there, we never find the apex of our life, the apex of our practice, the highest point of it. And the funny part about the highest point is it's in moderation. It is learning how not to overthink, create delusions and illusions, come to the complexities of some sort of final decision about what is right and wrong and good and bad and what I should do and what I shouldn't do. It's not about any of that. But we overthink everything. And we put it in the context of the certainty of our genetic nature, our DNA, our primitive side. We have two parts of our brain. The larger part is the instinctual part, the primitive part, the part that wants to stay alive, the one that is afraid of not having enough, of starvation. So we feel these impulses to do and say things that are ugly and demean us, spiritually speaking, take us away from the manner of the way. Then we have the frontal lobe that says, well, wait a minute. Are you sure you want to act like that? Are you sure you want to say something that mean, that cruel? You sure you want to do that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know which part wins. The story of the three fishermen is about three men who didn't allow their minds to take them over the top, overthink. They were humble. They lived in the moderation of their world, their life. They were fishermen. They didn't want to be moguls. They didn't want to be important. They were fishermen, and they didn't even know that they were walking on the water, that was a miracle, quote unquote. They didn't even acknowledge that because Their purpose was beyond the confines of right and wrong, good and bad. They had no certainty. One thing they knew, that if they were sincere, they were sincere, that somehow, some way, they would find their apex. Did they know it consciously? Maybe not, probably not. But that's the beauty of innocence. In innocence, and there must be an innocent part in me that allows me to not overthink, beautiful things begin to happen. If I live just the way I am, like our student gave us in this beautiful insight, if you live just the way you are and you find no moderation, you find no insight, you find no innocence, you will lose your soul. Most people live without a soul. They're soulless. Oh, they may be wealthy, and they may be popular, and they may have a lot of people around them, but they're soulless. And they need people around them to fortify them, to make them feel important and special. When you have the awakening of the soul in you, you know the way of heaven in you. And you just follow it. Never allowing yourself to go over the brim, oversharpen the blade, amass a store of gold and jade, worrying about who's going to protect it and what's going to happen. You just don't live like that. Living in innocence, we have to trust the soul. And this is something we find very difficult to do because we don't recognize that we even have a soul. That's why I say, my students are soulless. It is of no concern to them that they have lost their souls. Do you remember what Jesus taught? A rich man, he became wealthier than he ever imagined, tore down his barns, built new ones. He said he had enough money to eat, drink, and be merry for the rest of his life, comfortably. And then Jesus put the winger in there. But one night his soul would be required of him. And what would these things mean? Nothing. Everybody has their apex, some place that they come to where their soul is required of them. And when they reach for something to help them, it's not there. I've had many students in my day. Many. And I've seen this happen repeatedly. Something will come up in their health or something will come up in their life that they just can't do anything about. Science cannot help them. Religion cannot help them. Beliefs cannot help them. And they're stuck. What are they going to do now? Most of them succumb to the situation, not like the three fishermen who walked on the water. It's such a great little story. It makes my heart just dance with joy. If there is anything that you gain through this practice, meditation, inner work, it is to come to that blessed place where you discover your soul, where you don't overthink, where you're not certain about anything. It isn't how you utter the words, it's how you live in the manner of their spirit. Let's meditate together, you and I. I feel your presence. I'll be going through these meditations or working on discourses, and I can feel you. I know where you are. Let's be together, you, me, just like the little fisherman.